Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hi everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of our weekly podcast, Flats and Shanks. I'm David Flanagan.
And I'm Tom Shanklin.
Hi Tom, how are you?
Welcome to this podcast. I'm very well, fella. How are you?
Good, fella. Section 18, AC 12, fella.
To the letter of the law.
There's no way H is Hastings, and there's no way Hastings is Bent. Mm. We all know that. Everyone knows that. But that doesn't mean we're not seriously worried for Hastings this week.
Mother of God. I hate a Bent copper.
I am worried for him because all the time, Tommy, and all the podcasts we listen to, the ones that aren't as good as ours, we know that justice is not... It's not a machine, Tommy. Justice is not automatic. It's not guaranteed. All right, so he could get done and he could get banged up, banging and clanging in the clinker for doing nothing wrong. And I don't care if they say he's done something wrong. He ain't, because he's Hastings.
For a man, and you'll address me as superintendent, one rank senior.
Yeah, and I will be addressed as such, thank you.
For a man that doesn't like line of duty and likes nothing more than picking out its faults.
Rubbish, I never said that.
You certainly know a lot about it, but it's good though.
You're talking rubbish, mate.
Nah, you just...
No.
You're a perfectionist.
I have a couple of bits, and it's do you know the...
You should be Spielberg. You'd be hanging around with Scorsese too long.
Asian WPC, the really pretty one. I've forgotten her name, the ponytail. I know Hastings, don't know the others.
Yeah.
The way she speaks is the way the police write press releases. It's like, it's formal. It's so formal. It's like it's written, and she's reading off a script, and I think it's a bit crap.
How long have you spent in the police force, mate? How do you know they don't talk like that?
No, what? Yeah, yeah. That was my next point. I think they might.
Yeah.
I think they might.
But it's mega. Who is H? Other? Jill Bigelow.
I feel like that might be too obvious, fella.
She's got to be involved in some way. She's too good at...
Yeah, but she's so deliberately, overtly slimy, it can't be her.
Yeah, but she's deliberately putting words into people's mouths and following the path that she wants them to follow. She's very clever. Very clever. But yeah, you're right. Hastings, it's too obvious to be H, but will Jill have the authority to pull off what she's doing? Corruption. She can't, because she's not in the police, is she? She's liaison officer. But a bloody good one.
Cool, yeah.
Yeah.
They make or break on tour, aren't they? Liaison officers. Fixers. Mike Tindall's the only bloke I know that had a fixer on his stag do.
This
bloke ran everything for us. Tour manager. Came along on his stag do to Miami. We all got on the plane, sat in economy. And obviously he got paid to be there, so all of the fee we all paid chipped in for him. He flew business. Lad.
It's the only way to fly, mate.
And then, this is all... I remember him telling us, we got a table at this nightclub and it's this and it's, you know, it's $10,000. You're like, excuse me? $10,000 for $500 each, but you're in there all night and it's unlimited booze for $500. And we're thinking, what's that, 300 quid at the time?
All you can eat, drink... Sorry.
Yeah, so 300 quid each. It sounds so. When you say $10,000 for a table in a nightclub, you think it's ridiculous. But if you're going to batter
between 10,000 of you,
yeah, loads of food and champers all night, and a special occasion for Mike Tindall, and we'd all saved up and put in a kitty for it over a year.
And you had your Patrick Cox on, and your
we were at it.
Your cream chinos that you wear for the roast beef club.
Yeah, yeah, we were at it, and then happened. My mate Duxie happened to be there. Remember Tim Dux?
Yeah, yeah, of course.
From school. Duxie was there.
Yeah,
and he's just sitting on the sun lounger, and he heard, because he lives in Miami, and he came to see us at the hotel, and he heard someone mention, yeah, what's the fee for tonight? Well, I've got to give him $10,000 for the table. And he's like, what, you taking the mickey? He's like, mate, I'd get you in there for almost nothing. I remember that we went in and we paid something like $3,000 for 10 of us. We were getting properly done, stitched. $3,000 sounds like a lot, but again, it's $300, it's 200 quid each or whatever, it's 150 quid each for a massive night in a nightclub. But so we, you know, these fixers, that's why I don't trust her. They're out for themselves, Tommy.
Yeah, I don't trust her either, but can't wait for next week's feature-long episode, 90 minutes.
I know.
Just before we crack into what's gone on...
No, we got something else to do before that, but go on.
I have to say, well done to Nathan Thomas, a.k.a. Wacker.
He didn't do the marathon.
No, but he played for Abergavenny in one of the club finals at Principality Stadium on Sunday, played the full game. They won. So well done, Wacker.
Oh, well done, Wacker.
Player coach.
He's a unit now, Mike.
Player coach for Abergavenny.
You've seen him lately?
Yeah.
He's a yownit.
Also to Andy Powell, who coached Brecon.
Yeah.
To the final against Bonhamine. And they won. And after the game, there were pictures of him in his suit, just walking on the middle terrace, just walking like a peacock with arms moving, with a pint in his hand.
Large in it.
They're getting a tractor around Brecon with a few hay bales on, and they're going to go mental.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine him leading the charge as coach? Oh, my God.
Wow. I mean, in terms of a social, what better man do you want to lead the charge?
The police need to not be there.
And Cardiff beat Merthyr in a pretty decent game as well. So,
okay,
lots going on in the stadium. I went to Judgment Day on Saturday. Sounds massive, but it's just the four Welsh regions playing each other.
How was that?
It was okay, mate. I quite enjoyed it.
All right, fella.
We were social. More so.
Not John Terry tours?
No. 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 Although I've had some massive positive feedback.
Have you?
Probably seen me retweet it. Like it.
Oh. I want, so I've, you know.
Hold on, before you forget, you've got something else that you need to mention.
No, I'm gonna mention that.
Okay.
You look, you can't, you won't believe you haven't mentioned it, but when I mention it, but fella, you and I have got an unwritten rule that we do not retweet praise of ourselves. And I remember doing it once for a joke because someone had actually said, and it was false praise. He was actually hating me.
Yeah.
False praise. And I got about 50 of the lads pile into me within 10 minutes. And I was like, I knew it. You see, it's a disease, mate. It's a disease. You people have got to stop doing it. Just stop doing it. Anyway, I watched Game of Thrones.
And?
You haven't seen the episode yet today. No. Nope. It's Monday where we are today, fella.
When did you get to watch that?
Fella, it was this morning. I had some work to do. And I had a lot of banking, boring stuff to do for Michelle. Basically, what I've done is give her my username and login details for my bank, online banking, and now I don't have to do anything ever again, and she can just take it all.
Oh, wow.
So it's great. But I don't have to do anything now, hopefully. And hopefully she never emails me about banking again. But it was, I downloaded it on my iPad. I set it to download on my iPad as soon as it's 2 a.m. it came out, so whatever time it was, American time. And this morning, I was just sitting there doing this work.
It's on demand anyway, so you can...
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
All right, so I was like, right, I am going to stop work, and I'm going to watch it. I took the kids to school, dropped the kids off. I don't mean I had a poo-poo. I took the kids to school, got back, and I was like, I'm actually just going to watch it, because I want to watch it so bad. And I watched it, and it was... Right. Mate.
Okay, I get you.
Right, hang on.
Okay.
The best television programme I have ever seen was the Royal Family Christmas special when Nan died.
Okay.
Right? You didn't watch it, did you?
No, I don't watch the Royal Family.
Fella, honestly, incredible. Second by, actually joint first, Series 8, Episode 3 of Game of Thrones.
Really? That good?
Boy.
Even though there's no real dragons.
Honestly, oh, you don't watch it, do you?
What?
A Game of Thrones, you don't watch it, do you?
Well, no, 100% I watch it.
I know. It is just, honestly.
I nearly stayed up last night to watch it, but I couldn't. Oh, made man. It to one.
Oh, mate. Oh, it's so good.
Okay,
it's
cool.
It's so right. good. Just please watch it.
Okay.
Please watch it. And at the end, oh my days, mate.
Don't spoil it. We're going to watch it. What have you got to mention, mate?
That was it, the Game of Thrones thing?
No.
Oh, no. We've got to mention... Oh, I thought we were going to do a whole section on that. No. I'd forgotten, didn't you?
You had.
I promise I'd not forgotten.
Okay.
All right, it's not true. I'd forgotten. You know I forget things. Wayne Barnes, world's best referee, not our words, the words of Wayne Barnes, referee, yeah. Has got a game. There's a game, rugby match, Sunday 5th of May, 2 o'clock kickoff at Lydney Rugby Club. I think that's down, is that Gloucestershire? Yeah.
I don't even care.
Yeah, Forest of Dean. See the Forest of Dean combination. It's a combination team. Try and win back the Debbie Broderick Memorial Cup as the star-studded Wayne Barnes, 15. Ask me, couldn't make it, slash would get injured if I did. Returns to town with another massive team and England's Eddie Jones as coach on the day and fundraising for all the family. Eddie Jones is coaching them.
That's a big pull.
Yeah, big Lowell's going down as well.
Is he?
He's playing 80 minutes. Made that bit up. But he's going down and you can ask him about all sorts of stuff. There's food, fun, auction, raffle, live music till late. £6 entry if you're 16 and over. Kids go free, I presume. And it'll be a brilliant day. And it's about beating breast cancer. So it's supporting breast cancer now. Do get down there, support Barnsley, raise money for a great cause. Get amongst it, for goodness sake.
I can't believe you did that off the top of your head. Well remembered, you.
Well read, me.
Yeah, if you've got nothing on, get yourself down there.
Not if you're naked. No arrangements.
I might be able to make it. Slash not.
You can't go. I'm grafting. But
yeah, I'm working as well.
Some of us got jobs, Barnsley.
I had the worst morning ever today in a driver awareness course. I got points on the way back from your place in Bath after one of the podcasts through the Six Nations, doing 57 in a 50 zone before the bridge. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously just lost a little bit of concentration. I need...
That's what your cruise control's for, fella.
Yeah, it is, but it sometimes goes off when you push the brake. But now I'm just going to adhere to coast, which is concentration, observation, something again with A.
Analysis.
Attitude, I don't know.
Antelopes.
Something again with S.
Antelopes.
Time.
Seaweed and time.
Yeah. So I've been on a driving awareness course for 4 hours. And look, I know I've got to go on a course because it saves taking the points. But it's a 4 hour course and it can easily be condensed into 1 hour.
Easily.
Easily.
It's torture.
It's wasting their time, it's wasting our time.
I was there thinking...
You don't want to be looking at a screen and, right, what is the speed on this road? And it's just a sign saying 30 miles an hour.
Yeah.
With red round it.
I wonder why it's so long. The thing is, I was thinking that they obviously get paid to put these courses on, these people. You could run 5 or 6 of these a day, not 2.
Way more efficient.
Yeah.
Way more efficient.
Quadruple your money, lads.
So, anyway, been there. 4 hours and never get back, but understand I have to do the time.
Because you did the crime.
Because... I committed a crime.
The law of the land means nothing to you. You think you're above the law. You're like, what's his name? You know the guy. Who's the guy who operates outside the law?
MacGyver.
No, another 48 hours. Mel Gibson.
Okay.
Dan Glover.
I got a laugh, though, out of all the group.
Oh, well done.
Oh, yeah.
Were you the Joker in the
pack? Well, they said, how do you know it's 30 miles an hour? And I said, well, there's multiple lights or lampposts, which mean the zone that they're travelling, if there's no signs, is 30 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Apart from a motorway, obviously. And the guy said, Anthony, said, well done. Top of the class, you. To me. I went, well, I've been here before, mate. 4 years ago.
And that worked, did it?
Repeat offender. But you're not allowed to disclose who was on the course, just in case. People don't want to know.
Who was there? Anyone famous?
Me.
Shankers was there.
What have you been up to?
No, what have you been up to?
Well, I went to Judgment Day on Saturday. Yeah. Watched the four Welsh regions play. It was good. It was a good social for us.
Was it?
Yeah, it was a good social. Met with... Who do you meet with? Met with Mike Burton. Travel. on Thursday. You went there. Because yourself, myself, and the Chin,
Matt Powell, himself,
we are putting together a Lions tour to South Africa. So at the moment, we're just going through some costs and working out the tour. The dates haven't been announced yet. So as soon as the dates are announced, the venues of the stadium, we're in, aren't we?
We're sewing it.
That was it, my mucker. Just quite a few beers, I'd say, on Saturday.
What? Lad's pints?
Yeah.
Was it proper lad's pints?
It was Bulmers lager. To the point where I felt so bad that I've now started getting my food from Athlete's Kitchen, which is like a...
I saw that. What is that?
Yeah. They just deliver ready meals for you on your doorstep in the morning. So all the right calories, all the right food.
On your doorstep?
Yeah. And this is not a plug for them at all. I'm just saying what I'm doing. I paid for it.
What if you're not in?
They left it on my doorstep. And as I opened my door at 6:15 this morning to go to the gym. What? To go to the gym? What? The gym?
The gym. Who's
gym? Yeah. It was there.
That early?
So I had my overnight oats and raspberry and white chocolate for breakfast. I've had a chicken wrap and some cod and pasta for lunch.
Call of Duty for lunch. Is it enough food, though?
Yeah, it is at the moment. But yesterday I did have a double sausage and egg McMuffin.
Yes, my boy.
Meal.
that's my boy. That's my lad.
So that's
my lad.
That's it. Well, watched a bit of the London Marathon yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Andrew Cotter, the commentator.
Yeah.
We'll be calling him in a bit.
Yeah.
Always wanted to get him up on the podcast because he's a secret listener.
Get the pod up him. Yeah, very secret.
Always texting us, isn't he?
Yeah. Why don't you ever mention me? Why don't you talk me up? Can I come on?
Can I bring my dogs? It's not that kind of a
it's gig. That kind of show, brother.
What you been doing? Our lad.
Our fella boy. Well, girls' Easter holiday didn't end till Tuesday night, so I've been...
Oh, mate, it's savage Easter with the kids off.
Well, I love it, but it's just really long.
We just got to entertain them all the time.
Yeah, it's like a best part of a month off they get. Like, three weeks, 2 days. Like, jeez, mate.
Well, we only get two, but we're not.
It's posh school, isn't it?
Yeah.
So...
I aspire to be that.
Do you? That was nice. I went up to Welford Road on Wednesday and filmed a Land Rover video with Ellis Genge. Open range video, Land Rover. And I like Ellis Genge, as you know. But I like him as a fella, as well as a baller. So we had, really good time. Top bloke. And because, you know...
Didn't you do that Tuesday? I think we spoke about it on the pod.
I did that Wednesday, fella.
Okay.
Wednesday, fella.
Well, maybe we haven't spoken about it.
Maybe we haven't. But you took the mickey out of me because I was wearing black jeans.
That's right.
Thing is, you said if it was Clive Woodward, you'd have worn tweed.
Yeah.
I said, correct.
Yeah. No, you're brilliant at dressing to the occasion.
I'm a sartorial chameleon.
I'll give you that.
Yeah. But day to day, I'm in sweaty gym gear now, but I will be in jeans and a t-shirt.
You know, if you meet some sort of ex-army guys, do you wear camo? Do you wear your camo top?
I got a couple of mates that are ex-judo players. When I go for dinner at their house, I wear a gi. I wear a white gi.
Got any snooker player mates? Oh, I went with EVS Leeson. I forgot on Thursday. I've got to mention them because probably getting a car off Jared.
Jared, is it?
Jared Morris,
oh,
yeah.
Jared.
I went with them to the celebration of St. David's Hotel, 20th birthday party. Sat on their table. James Williams, X Factor singer, 2008, got to judges' houses, Danny Minogue, didn't quite make it, entertained us with primarily his voice and also some dance moves.
Lovely stuff.
Yeah.
Jared, nice bloke? Or weird?
Yet to make up my mind.
All right.
Strange. Just looks at you intensely in the eyes all the time. Like, doesn't ever look away.
One of those guys.
No, just joking. He's fine.
Psychopath. Yeah,
he's fine.
Blink if you want, Jared, lad.
He's a great guy.
Yes, I saw Genji, we're best mates now. Saw Ellis, and that was nice. And then video out soon, but you all can't wait. Then on Thursday, I had a bit of a chill. So I caught up with a couple of columns I had to write, did a bit of work at home, and then I had brunch with my friend Jane, who's Jane Ingham, who owns Media Clash, their own Bath Life magazine and all that.
Yeah.
And then with my mate Shax. Now, Shax is Adam Shackle and Sam Pullin. Sam Pullin is, used to be a CrossFit guy in Bath, now works at Bath Rugby. But Shax owns Bath CrossFit along with a couple of other guys.
Yeah.
And top fella, he's also personal trainer to Laurie Cantor, the golfer.
Yeah.
And now loads of golfers, I think, are tapping him up.
Gnaws him for around all the time.
Yeah, of course he is. But he's a good fella. He's a real good fella. Friday was the Roast Beef Club lunch.
Yeah, saw some photos.
It's just, it's one of my favourites. One of my favourites.
Did you know you're going to be sitting on a bike?
No, I didn't know, because Triumph UK donated a bike to the charity auction to raise money for Support Our Paras.
Oh,
and
nice.
Someone paid 32,000 quid for a Triumph bike.
Brilliant.
Yeah, they gave him a bike. It's really cool. And didn't know Laura Wright was going to be sitting on the back of a bike with me, but I was very happy with that.
Would you rather
the other way around? Well, no, because she hasn't got a license.
Okay.
So, yeah, so that was, it was good. It was a brilliant day. Brilliant, brilliant day. I went to Worcester on Sunday and had absolute blooming lols with Durders.
Did you?
Imagine. Oh, it's just old boys club, isn't it?
We had a bit of chat on Twitter. Got a bit aggressive at one stage. He started.
Yeah, I liked it.
He started
it.
Calling names.
I liked it.
You know, you've got someone when they start calling you names.
Yeah.
Because he's saying it's lazy for us to call each other fella and fella.
He does not say mate, buddy, anything. He doesn't say any of
chum.
That. He doesn't say. He uses names. So if he goes to a shop, and he's like, literally, I've been in a place with him where he's buying petrol, and he wants to order me a coffee as well. He's asking, what's your name? The guy's like, what? He's like, what's your name? Sorry, is that your name? The guy behind the counter. He's like, Simon. We also have a regular cappuccino, please, Simon. Thank you very much. Thank you, Simon. Very good. You're a good man, Simon. You're doing a great job. Thank you, Simon. It's bizarre. He'll say Simon 8 times in 10 seconds. He will not say cheers, mate.
But
he will not say it. He'll find out their name, even in shops.
I mean, I hit back with him saying it's lazy to wear the same coat for every Channel 5 rugby. He does.
Bangers. You're bangers, mate.
Does.
You're bang right.
I mean, you wear different coats, different occasions. When it's cold, the bin liner comes out. It's a little bit warmer. You've got something more lightweight.
I'd have a shirt and a jacket if I want.
Yeah. He will just wear that coat, which is an expensive brand. Can't remember what it is, but it's also fallen apart a little bit. I looked at it.
Do you know what it is? It's
around the seams, it's coming apart.
It's a Moncler coat.
That's right.
That was bought for him by ESPN when ESPN launched rugby by the costume department. He put it on expenses, and he's never bought himself another coat since because he's a tight git.
Mm.
He's also real money, Durders.
Yeah.
So he likes things to be threadbare. And he said that once he was on stage with Prince Charles. Prince Charles walked up and he had a threadbare, really beautiful suit, but threadbare like he'd worn it every day for a year. It was clean and perfect, but it was old and used and knackered old loafers that had obviously been redone. And he said, now that's class. I want to be like that instead of being all nouveau. I must say, I quite like it.
Yeah. He's also got a neck like a pug, hasn't he? You know, there's a lot of excess skin around there. And, you know, you could grab it and you could just pick him up and just manoeuvre him.
Yeah.
And he'd be fine. Like you would a lion puppy or
a pug. He says he doesn't sleep well. I reckon that's because of you must be struggle breathing with all that flesh.
Yeah.
There's a girl just got out of a car. We're in a car park here, guys. There's a girl just got out of a car with her boyfriend. We're at Seven Bridge Services. And it's our studio. And she's got those jeans on. So she's got a crop top on, which is basically the size of a bra, and she's got those jeans on.
They're called high-waisted jeans.
Are they?
Yeah.
But they're above her navel.
Yeah.
I don't like those. I mean, she looks lovely. I don't like those high-waisted jean things.
Yeah. What, on men or women?
Women.
Okay.
I haven't seen them on men.
Simon Cowell?
Yeah, I mean, he looks ridiculous, but I don't get it.
He loves flares as well, the bottom of his jeans.
Mate.
He loves that look.
Mate, he looks like Aladdin.
I know. Right, should we try and give Cotto a call?
Grotty Cotto. That doesn't rhyme. Grotty Cotty. Yeah, let's do it.
Snotty Cotty.
Snotty Cotty.
Hello, can you hear me now?
Hello.
Oh, we can hear you well.
Oh, tremendous. It's all very good news.
This isn't like your commentary voice. This is, do you put that on for the TV? Is this your boring slob home voice?
Hello there. Good to hear from you both. Hi, how are you?
Yes, good. How are you?
Firstly, good afternoon, everyone.
Oh no! Are we on already?
I don't think we'll do another intro after that.
No,
I mean, seamless intro. That
doesn't get any better, does it?
No, just bear with me. me. Right. Good. Hey, how are you?
I was going to say, Dave. If there's a bear with you, run.
Dogs with me.
Guess where we are.
Around. Yeah, I've got two dogs wandering around nearby, but they're now lying on their basket, so it's fine.
Oh, I love dogs.
Fine,
bloody love them.
Shanks doesn't like dogs.
You haven't got dogs, have you, Tom?
He hasn't got the emotional depth to have a dog.
I don't trust people who don't like dogs.
Mm.
Yeah, Maybe I'll get a dog when my kids grow up, and then I'll have someone that loves me.
See, did you have a dog when you were younger, when you were growing up?
No, I had two cats.
And there we are. That's the answer. Yeah. You see, if children aren't introduced to dogs, they become dog phobic later on in life. That's no, my working theory.
Mine don't have dogs, and they love them. They're always on at me about getting dogs. But
yeah. But why are you denying your children happiness?
Because I am enough for them.
You're not asking for a dog.
If in doubt, you just have another baby, and that becomes your pet.
Andrew, exactly. You will like my dog strategy, life history plan, whatever you call it. We did not have dogs as a kid. My parents produced a dog phobic grown up, big strong guy, terrified of any dog that ran towards me. And I knew that I was wrong. I knew that I was wrong to be scared of dogs and to not love dogs. So I got one anyway and overcame my fear with my English Bull Terrier, Gus.
Really? Oh, so Gus was your first dog?
First ever dog. Yeah.
Oh. Well,
Terrible idea to get one of those as your first dog, as it turns out. Well, really bad.
Yeah. That is the deep end, getting a dog who, because he looks fearsome. And I know that he won't be fearsome, but he could have been when he was young and energetic as well. He could have been quite boisterous, I'm sure.
I mean, can you take us through your animal history?
Oh, well, Tom, let me tell you. No, we always had dogs. In fact, my grandmother had about 13 dogs. So it was
unlucky.
Yeah.
Was she the mad lady with the dogs?
Yes, exactly. Mm. And she had a shopping trolley that she used to push around the town and shout at seagulls. No, she just had, I think she had lots of, I don't know, she had lots of dogs, Shetland sheepdogs. So we had Shetland sheepdog, and then I had a Yorkshire Terrier when I was younger. And then the dogs got bigger and bigger as we grew up. Not those same dogs, but the breeds that we got bigger and bigger. So my mum's got a Bull Mastiff.
Oh, I love them.
Yeah.
Love
Mungo.
Them.
Mungo the Bull Mastiff.
Mungo.
What a lovely
lush.
I mean, just actually, we haven't done you any justice here. I mean, we should give you a proper introduction.
Well, go on then, Tom.
We have Andrew Cotter here. Okay, he's born on the 20th of July, 1973.
What?
Yeah. Primarily works for the BBC, covering mainly golf and rugby union, but also does tennis, athletics, the boat race, the marathon.
Crikey.
This sounds almost like you're reading it from Wikipedia.
No.
Extra citations for verification.
I've lost my phone. I'm born in Troon and has a degree in French and philosophy.
Yes, I wasn't born in Troon. I was born in Irvine, about 5 miles away.
Okay.
But So Wikipedia's wrong. Who would have thought it?
Who'd have thunk that?
No, I did my own research, mate.
What is Wikipedia anyway?
I've just been following you for the
last
year.
Well done. You also like to go for walks, don't you?
I do like to go for walks at an angle as well, not just leaning over, but going up stuff. I love to get.
Yeah, how are the knees and the ankles with that?
Knees are fine. See, my knees are not a problem. I know as you get deep into your 40s, which I am, who would have believed it? But my knees are not a problem. My hip is a problem. But and my Achilles, do you find your Achilles, because you gentlemen must be getting on for your late 20s, do you find your Achilles and calves are the problem?
No joke. I've been properly, the last 10 days, I've been limping so badly that I've had to actually, I couldn't walk my dog today because my Achilles is so sore. So yes.
I saw you when we were working in La Rochelle, and I hadn't seen you for a while, and we were walking around the harbour, just me and you, Sonia was there. So, and I thought, is this normal movement for you? Is this because...
It can be, yeah. The last few weeks I've been limping badly.
But it is an aggressive walk. I mean, I walk behind him a lot just so I can video him, and it is. It's aggressive.
Clearing away from him, definitely.
He's talking about my limp because of my Achilles.
Okay, I thought you were doing it like to be street because you've been hanging around with Ellis Genge and stuff.
No.
Andrew, is it true that you play golf for Scottish schools and Scottish universities? If so, what is your handicap?
His swing.
His
short game.
Handicap, I don't play anymore. I tried to play for the first time in about 5 months on Friday, and it wasn't very good. So my handicap is still technically 3, but it's lapsed.
Okay.
This is where Flats is just switching off, isn't he?
Because he doesn't care, does he?
He doesn't do golf.
I literally just picked up my phone to read my text because I don't give a toss about golf. Anyway, carry on.
You were out in Augusta. Did you manage to play the course?
No, I played it once. My very first year out there, which was 2001, I played it. There's a press ballot to play it on the Monday, and I came out to the press ballot. And then you're not allowed to enter that ballot for another 9 years.
Oh, really?
But even when I was... Yeah, but I've never entered the ballot again because you can't play it twice. That's just not fair to anyone else. So, I have played it once, but a long time ago.
That was very unselfish of you.
Well, that's the kind of guy I am.
I mean, how great was that? And did you get to interview Tiger after?
Yeah, no, I wasn't. Rishi Prasad was out there doing the interviews for us, so he spoke to Tiger. But it's the Masters is a great event, obviously. It was a great story, a great sporting story. But it's a strange event, a hard event to do as well, because they have their own rules at Augusta, and if you don't stick to them, then heaven help you. So it's a strange event, but it's incredible. And it was an incredible story. Whether the burly gentleman likes golf or not, it's an amazing sporting story.
Yeah, no, I love it.
There was a point towards the beginning of the tournament before it started, and I was thinking, it's almost like this is more hyped up than the Football World Cup final. It's like this is the most hyped up golf event. I thought the Ryder Cup was hyped up. The Masters was just crazy.
Probably not in Croatia.
No, maybe it wasn't.
But anyway, Tiger Woods won it. Amazing story. It truly is an amazing story, wherever you sit on golf. And I don't play it, I don't watch it, but I certainly don't hate it. I appreciate the incredible skill involved. However, Tiger Woods' story is an astonishing one. But I mean, you're in a compromised position here because it's your job. But I've never listened to any. I've read long read articles about him and stories about him and thought, that is a fascinating story. I've never found him a fascinating bloke, just a gifted golfer. And he doesn't have to be a fascinating bloke. But he'll do an interview and you'll think, over all these years, you think this guy would develop some sort of rapport with an interviewer or something. And it's like, no, this is a machine built to hit golf balls into a hole. And that is it.
Well, he was a machine created by his dad. Earl made him into this golfing machine. So if you make a really efficient, sporting machine where golf is everything, sport is everything, then obviously you're not going to be making a great person. I'm not saying he's a bad person, but personality-wise, he is incredibly sort of backward. He is getting better. You know, 40 years old now, but he has not. He's not been able to develop social skills in the way that normal people would be, because it's all been about the victory and the achievement. So you make this ruthless golfing machine, but I wouldn't say he is the kind of person. It's an amazing story, a fascinating story he's got, but as a person, he is not amazing and fascinating. It's it's like the same with quite a lot of sports stars. They are slightly on the dull side of things because they focus on one thing over and over again.
Shanks a bit like that.
So what we're saying is we'd rather go out for a drink with John Daly. But anyway, regardless of Tiger, he's just loved by fans. He's loved by the public.
Oh, yeah.
There's
a
massive likability factor there. People are just desperate for him to win because the amount of majors he's got catching Jack Nicklaus. Who would be one of the most awkward people/animals that you've ever interviewed? Andrew? Cotto? Cotters? Cotsy?
A Staffordshire Bull Terrier I interviewed once who just wouldn't...
In
grabbed my balls midway through the interview. No, I'd who would
interview dogs before he buys them?
Oh, here we are, Serena Williams.
Okay.
So tennis players are difficult. They are contractually bound after most matches to speak, but they'll do it so begrudgingly. And so Serena Williams, I interviewed her once after a match at Wimbledon, and I thought we'd been getting on famously, and. They were smiling. Yes, I think she liked me. So that went well. So the next time I interviewed her was a year later. And obviously, she is never going to remember me in a month of Sundays. So I introduced myself, held out my hand. Now, obviously, I realized that I have problems in this department, but I held out my hand to shake her and said, hello, Andrew. And she stared at my hand as if, I don't know, someone had...
Just been to the toilet.
A soiled tissue for her to grab, and she just looked at it, and so I went, okay, that's not happening, withdrew my hand. And then the interview, she sat down and she said just two questions. So I thought, right, okay, two questions. So I mean, the interview lasted about 47 seconds or so, and it's just painful and pointless and awful.
It's a shame. Yeah. Mike Brown would have been a good tennis player.
I'm not saying she may be a nice person. I don't know her at all, but don't do the interview. Just say, I know you're contractually bound to do it, but don't do 47 seconds of just nonsense. I would respect them more if they said, I'm not going to do the interview. I'll take the fine. I'll take the hit because, So that was she was quite difficult.
Yeah, it's almost like you want to come in and just say, guys, I'm so not up for it. if I do interviews, it's going to be terrible. My head's completely gone. I'm desperate to go home. Does anyone mind if I just go home? And everyone, do you know what? Somebody might say, no, you've got to stay, contractually obliged. Most people would say, chill out, don't worry about it. We'll grab a quote from somewhere else. You go get your head done, you know? But you do have a problem with... Because when I the first few times I met you, I thought that you were this weird nerd slash rude boy hybrid in that you were nerdy, but you wanted to fist pump me whenever you saw me. Pretty quickly, I realised when I sat down to commentate with you, I think during the World Cup or whenever it was, you got your antiseptic wipes out and wiped down the microphones that were used.
Yeah, but that's... All right, okay, I will defend myself on that. Lip mics, which people might not know we use, lip mics are these things which are pressed up against your lip. That's, and they block out external sound. They're very efficient, fantastic microphones, as opposed to the headsets with the sort of open mic, which will bring in a little bit more sound. Lip mics are great for sound quality, but you don't know who's been using them before. You and the guy, the engineer, has been testing them. And it's just wrong. You take off the lip guard and you'll see what's accrued there. And anyway, I'm not disabusing you of the notion here that I'm a bit weird. But honestly, you've got to give them a clean.
Do you think that's one of the reasons why when you were commentating with Jonathan Davis that you had to go to the toilet and never came back?
Yeah, see, and this is a bit of a Welsh myth that I was being ill out of both ends. Welsh fans still contact me after Wales, Italy, Wales, 2013.
Yeah,
with little poo emojis, and I say, I didn't. That's not what happened. I had the norovirus, and I was violently sick.
That was
all that was happening.
Yeah. It's coming out the top end rather than the bottom.
Well, how did you catch it? Did you shake someone's hand the Tuesday before?
Well, exactly. I must have, so I'm never going to do that again.
The thing about lip mics is, I look at it like this. I see your point, but I would happily French kiss anyone who had used that microphone in the last 5 years now. So I don't mind, man or woman.
Yeah, I think you're lying. I'm not sure. If you lined up all the people who've been doing highlights commentary on various sports and things like that, and that microphone has just been brought in, and there's a bit of, I don't know, Guy Mowbray on it. Not the guy. Not, I'm not singling out Guy Mowbray. He's a great guy.
He's all right.
He's literally a great guy. But I wouldn't... No, just give it a small antiseptic. Most of the good engineers, most of the good sound guys or the floor managers who are setting up, they will bring along antiseptic wipes. But listen, I realise that actually we've spent 3 minutes, 4 minutes now talking about me and antiseptic wipes.
Yeah,
so
let's move on because, I mean, my eyeballs are bleeding. So, rugby. You commentate on a lot of rugby, a lot of different sports actually. I don't know the answer to this. I sense that your favourite sport would be golf to commentate on. Maybe wrong, but I feel rugby has
athletics.
A special place for you. Would I be right in that?
So golf was the sport I played most growing up, and I played rugby. But again, you know, I've talked to this before. When you're playing schoolboys rugby, it's just who is the enormous genetic freak when at 12 years old. Now, I'm suspecting it was both you and Flats were both massive.
No, I was a leg developer. I was very leg developer, yeah.
Because so schools rugby was just a case of, because I was really big through primary school and then stopped growing just at the wrong moment.
Yeah.
And suddenly you're up against guys with moustaches and children on the sidelines. You know, hang on, who's that? That's my eldest son.
They're playing for their mortgages. You're there for the crack.
Yeah, exactly. So we would just get our enormous gargantuan freak would run at theirs, and that was it. And Glasgow Academy seemed to just consist of 15 enormous freakish children. So anyway, so rugby was painful, but I mean, literally painful. But golf was my favourite sport growing up to play.
Mm.
But to commentate on, rugby and athletics are more enjoyable because of the pace of them, because of the sound of the crowd.
Yeah.
It's just a slightly more exciting sport to you know, when you get a really great match or a really great race or a really great game in front of a fantastic crowd, then, you know, there's nothing like it.
Is there one race and one game that really stand out for you?
I would say...
want both
one,
now.
One race, North Americans. No, the one race that stands out for me, I...
Caucasians, please.
Yes, exactly. I wasn't going to go there. So Wade Van Niekerk setting the 400 meters world record in the Olympic final in Rio was good. And the game which still stands out for me, because I would say England against Scotland this year, but I was only, because it's a BBC ITV split now, I was there doing commentary, but I was only doing highlights commentary. Yeah. So it slightly takes the edge off it. But 2010, Wales against Scotland.
Yes.
Because that was an absurd game. So much happened. You know, Tom Evans, bless him, broke his neck in the game.
That's right.
Before the dramatic finish, Chris Patterson got taken off with a lacerated kidney, of all things. Oh. It was just, there was much.
There was a yellow card as well that went on.
There were two yellow cards towards the end. Scotland were down to 13. Scotland led by 10 points with 4 minutes to go and lost by 7 points. Now that's special. That takes something quite extraordinary.
That is how confident Wales were winning that game that they left me on the bench because they just knew they didn't need any of their finishers on.
They say get shanks.
They knew. We'll save you for next week, mate.
This story's been on the podcast a million times. We're not going to rehash it now, but I don't know if you ever heard the story of Shanks's 50th cap. Andrew, where Warren Gatland basically got the meeting before the game and he goes, big day today, boys. Shanks, 50th cap. When I was at Wasps, when you were at Ceres, we really didn't rate you. We actually targeted you, mate. But here you go, 50th cap. Well done, mate. And that was it. That was literally all he said. They got on the bus.
Yeah, on the bus.
Anyway.
Anyway,
so you like commentating rugby. This is good news. I wanted to ask you an athletics question because it's something that super mega bugs me about watching athletics or big athletics events. So you will deny this, but I think you've got to be a supreme commentator to commentate on all those events
and events.
That's why you don't make the grade. I wish they would get one. If you find one, let me know. But really, I think they spend so much time focusing on like bloody warm-ups and more than that medal presentations when there are events going on, and they're cutting away from events the whole time to go to medal presentations. It just bugs the crap out of me. Like, we know they've got a medal, we don't need to see them getting it, we want to see the sport. And when you're is it just great fun to commentate on those events, or are these directors actually the most annoying people in the world for you?
Obviously I can't possibly comment on. I would say doing athletics is interesting because there's always not a battle, but there are two distinct things. There is studio and the experts in there and the presenter, and there is commentary. So out in the field, actual commentators out there who, now by and large, the commentators would always want to have it with them so they could commentate on the events going on. But I understand that as a product, as a television product, some people like to see features and entertaining chat, etc. I would certainly come into the camp where I would rather see all the sport going on and as much of it as possible. But it's always a battle between, especially on the BBC, where 90% of the viewers will not necessarily be hardcore viewers of that sport, fans of that sport.
Yeah.
So they might want something a little bit more open and less exclusive. Whereas if you watch a sport on Sky or on BT Sport, people have subscribed to those channels because they want to watch those specific sports. So you can be a little bit more exclusive. You don't have to explain things quite so much, and you can make it all about the hardcore sport, which I'm about, but I understand that there is more to it. I would certainly like to. When we were watching athletics growing up, it would be whoever it would be.
Roger Bannister.
Des Lynam introducing it. And then David Coleman would just hold it, and they would have plenty of time for the sport to all breathe. But now it's a little bit more fast-paced, and you have smaller windows to fill with the sport. So that's a long and technical and boring answer.
No, I liked it. Rugby, you obviously do a lot of rugby. Now, you cover the Six Nations, you do a lot on BT Sport. With the World Cup coming up now in September, from the Northern Hemisphere, because we all know who's going to be favourite Southern Hemisphere, who would you say is the best chance of winning this Rugby World Cup?
You
can only name one.
Oh, right, okay.
You can say the reasons why the others aren't, but...
Okay, I would have said England.
Yeah.
And until... Just there have been a couple of performances, and the fact that they've not been able to close out a couple of games. I think Wales are going to be a really good World Cup side because without being outstandingly flashy, they know how to get it done and they cut down on the mistakes. And going through a World Cup, especially in the knockout stages, I think it comes down to making fewer mistakes. Whereas, you know, going out in the pool stage, I mean, Ireland, have they peaked a year too early? That is the great fear, that they're sort of doing a New Zealand of old. I would love to narrow it down to one. I will narrow it down just because it's you and you're just awesome. Wales, I would say.
Thank you. Apart from,
fine.
But yeah, also England.
We're doing well in Wales, apart from domestically, where we are absolutely rubbish at the moment. But
that
doesn't
is
matter.
True.
Doesn't matter with the World Cup.
Who cares
on the
World
horizon?
Cup. Yeah, but quarterfinals is, that's a win for you guys, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Can I just say, is this going to be? I'm waiting also for. I can't wait to see where the infamous Shanks edit is going to be. The sort of mid word edit.
Well, at the moment we've done about 21 minutes, and I'll probably just cut this down to about a minute.
So mid syllable, something will happen.
It's almost like last Tuesday I was Pingu Finance. Come to us.
Exactly.
For your wallet busting loans, kill
but
yourself financially.
Yeah, but this is my favorite podcast. We've got I like Adam Buxton's podcast.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah,
Mark Maron, an American who does interviews with lots of people. When he gets a good guest on, it's great.
Oh, I don't know. But him. Mark Maron.
Mark Maron, yeah, MARC. Okay. It's called the WTF podcast.
Are there murders on there?
Yeah, it's
Shanks like serial killers.
Yeah, I only listen to murders. And
no, it's not.
Crime
it's
solving.
It's mostly actors.
Okay.
And the like.
I just subscribed this second. Thank you for that.
Yeah. Well, there are lots of good ones in the back catalogue. Also, I'm aware that when I'm listening to this podcast and I hear that you have a guest, I'm always a little bit disappointed. I don't know why. So now I'm very conscious that I'm that guest and the people will be listening and thinking, oh, that's my day ruined. I was looking forward to Flats and Shanks podcast, but they've got a guest. I like it when you talk.
Yeah, but we don't have many guests anymore. So it's really nice to get someone on because sometimes we do run out of a bit of chat. And it's nice to get, you know, a sport / dog.
Weirdo.
Life lover.
But as well, I think our listeners trust us to get good guests on. Because we get offered guests. I mean, this might be the week.
Steve Ryder. We got offered this week. Steve Ryder.
Yeah, Steve Ryder. Garth Brooks we had. No chance. Not after what he said to my mum in 83.
Lovejoy. Tim Lovejoy.
The Greek bloke from London's Burning. We have them all. But then,
Otis from Channel 4.
But we...
The Athletics.
We don't do that many because we can't be bothered. But also, we get offered famous people. When I say famous people, I mean elite rugby players generally.
Mm.
But insert whatever name you want. Think of a top rugby player, English. Now and again, we get emails from agents and brands and stuff saying, would you like 30 minutes with so-and-so? Would you like 30 minutes? And it's like, well... We got offered, and this is nothing. I can say the Maro Itoji one because it's nothing to do with Maro. We'd love to get him, well, one day we will. But would you like 30 minutes with Maro Itoji? Yeah, sounds cool. Right, you got to be at Twickenham on Wednesday at 2:45 PM. He's doing a day of interviews, and we said, "Nah, you're all right,
you
mate."
Itoji comes to us. Itoji will come to our car park in a service.
It's kind of not so much that. It's like we don't mind driving about a bit, but it's kind of we're not. We don't want to be. We can't be bothered to go up for a big press day and be roted in and that sort of stuff. We want to have a nice natural chat. We're not going to give anyone any money. We're not going to pin anyone down. We're not going to make anyone travel 200 miles to see us. So when we get a guest, it's because we're willing to put ourselves out, which we've done today by pressing go on a computer.
Yeah. You mentioned Lovejoy. Yeah. And so Ian McShane, who was Lovejoy, he was briefly in Game of Thrones in about
a season. Right, yeah.
So he kind of ruined Game of Thrones for me because not his appearance in it, but afterwards he was talking about it and he gave away a couple of spoilers for the season. And that's not what ruined it for me, but he basically just summed it up. So he took away all the fantasy of it because he was describing it to someone. Someone was interviewing him. He said, yeah, it's basically just tits and dragons, isn't it? And so now I can't see it as anything other than just this silly... I mean,
that's
still
Spartacus.
Enjoy it.
Not really. That was Spartacus when it first
came
out.
If he said that in front of me, I'd do his dentist a
favour. Ed Sheeran and David Beckham ruined it for me with their cameos.
Ed Sheeran, that was... When was David Beckham in it?
I'm sure he was in the same
what?
Scene.
What, boy?
What, sitting around the campfire
or
singing a song?
Or maybe,
Ed Sheeran was in it.
Or was he in Arthur? He was in King Arthur.
Ed Sheeran was definitely in Game of Thrones.
Beckham
singing.
Was in King Arthur then. Maybe I've got it wrong. I'm getting my medieval timescale all mixed
but
up.
But I haven't watched episode 3 yet because...
No, nor have I.
It's a bit of a slow starter, this one.
Cots, we just had this chat before we called you. We had this chat.
I don't know.
And no, not about getting, but just I've watched it, Tommy hasn't, and I watched it today, and good grief. Good grief. Enjoy.
Really?
Turn your phone off, enjoy, and
put your seatbelt on, Buckle up.
It's not like you're going to stop it halfway through and never watch the other half again. So I'm telling you to do something you're already going to do, but wait till the end.
Okay.
Goodness me.
That's what you normally do.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly.
But that's what they have to do. They have to. You have to have episodes which are slow burners setting things up.
Of course.
I know. I didn't love the first two, but oh my days, am I into it now? Jeepers Louipers.
So well, have you done all the sort of random nonsense? What have you been up to, chat this week before I appear?
Yeah, I've done it. Yeah.
I love all that.
And we had a new feature, Ring a Weirdo, so...
Ring someone you reckon might be in prison 1 year from now. Andrew Hyde.
I might be in prison. If I find the guy, Tom, who stole your paella at a hospital in the fridge, in the communal fridge, I'm still angry about that.
Don't, mate, don't.
What happened there?
Look, let's not drag skeletons out of the cupboard anymore. Like, we put that to bed. Let's not dig up old graves, I probably meant to say then.
Yeah.
I don't know what come out.
Let's not dig up gravy.
I've mourned. I'm over it now. I don't want to bring it up again. I was the victim, all right? And that's great on BBC as well, the victim.
Yes, exactly. The other thing I enjoy your chat about is sort of social media and the general use thereof. Because there are a couple of rugby players, ex-players and current players, who stand... Some people do it really well, social media, but there are a couple... And one is about as talented a player as you can get, but to see his Instagram account is just a glimpse into the abyss of... It's a combination of the showing off, but humble brags as well.
Yeah.
The pseudo-psychology inspirational messages, which have come from a poster in a gym or something.
Yeah.
And I think it's just all making us worse people, isn't it? Really? Yeah.
You've just got to be careful, haven't you?
Thing is, you know, I genuinely think as a grown-up and as a father, I genuinely think social media is potentially very, very dangerous. I really do, because there is so much awful stuff. So as a thing the other night, my kids are just watching this thing on... they're allowed to watch a little thing on Instagram on my phone because it was a little music video or something. And they're 7 and 9. And they're saying things like, nah, he's a 5 out of 10. Nah, he's a 7 out of 10. And they've heard people doing it. And I monitor really tightly what they watch.
Were you on my feed?
And this is on Shanks' feed. But they don't watch YouTube. They can watch YouTube Kids. They watch makeup and craft and fun stuff. And still on there, you know, but I do think if you really monitor it, not just for kids, but for yourself, there is some tosh on there. And every day I will watch at least 5 videos of people's cysts being drained, teeth being pulled out on these pimple popper things. That's my little vice. And I look at cars, which is a waste of time because I can't afford them anyway. But there is some brilliant content on there. It's almost, there is really, really is some great stuff on there. So it's a balance.
You've got to have an internal filter, because if you see some of the stuff you see and somebody retweets somebody into your timeline that you just don't want to see, you don't want to see. Why is this man outside? Why is he dancing outside his car? What's he doing? What are you doing, man? But that's social media influencers now.
You've got to be careful, because you know if people don't know you, they just judge you on your social media. So
the worst of all, I'm going to say it because I'm not.
Go on, then.
I'm not like you two, because I'm. No.
You've been watching Roy Keane. That's what you've been doing. You've been taking tips off Roy Keane. Go on,
Roy
then.
Keane.
Go on, hit us with it.
He should be president.
Of Ireland.
Of anything. The worst, good bloke. Worst social...
Oh, see, there you go. You've coached it already. Worst. Yeah.
No, this is the point. This is the point. So if he was a rubbish bloke, and if he was a nasty bloke, I certainly wouldn't mind saying it, if you know, about his Instagram account. But in terms of
Brian O'Driscoll,
the account not representing the human being...
Joke.
I always... And he might listen to this, and I hope he does, because it's important. He's a beautiful man, and he's a nice man. But when I spend time with Tom Evans, I think, what a good bloke. And when I see his Instagram, it makes me sick through my ear holes. It's the worst Instagram account on planet Earth. He's beautiful. His body's amazing. The dancing and the singing, it just breaks me. I commented on a few as a joke, thinking he'll stop this at some point. And I meet him now, and it's like, he's such a good bloke. I really like him. When he's at a dinner I'm at, I will go out of my way to say, yo, fella, how's the modelling? Yeah, me too. Whatever it is. And I just think, bro, how does this come about? I don't get it.
Yeah, he is a lovely bloke. So I, but then again, if you have a way of promoting it, so I understand it a bit. If you have a way of promoting your career and what might be your career going forward, then then you can't. That's just the way of the world now. And it's not the people that depress me. It's the way of the world now that gets you down, because you just think, is that what we're about now? Are we about likes and retweets and little hearts and little hands clapping and smiley emojis and?
Anyway, it gets a lot of likes, so someone must like it and enjoy it.
Yeah, good. Yeah, exactly.
And he's
good
beautiful. Luck, yeah.
Right. That's a half hour conversation. I think that is probably our longest ever phone call we've had. That's how much we've enjoyed it.
I'm exhausted,
Andrew.
Really. People switched off.
Do you have a nickname, by the way, just before we terminate this?
Of course he doesn't.
Just Ace. I did try and get, because my initials are AC, you tried to get Ace going in primary school when I was about 8 years old, 9 years old. I thought, yeah, it was one of those things where you're going around saying, oh, some of the guys are calling me Ace, so yeah.
I'd have called you Deece, as in ACDC.
I don't have a nickname at all, no. Just a miserable, strange man. So
who fist pumps despite being a bit nerdy.
all right, anyway, thanks for
good luck
picking up, basically.
You're very welcome. I'm off out for a cycle now, because that's the kind of guy I am.
It's great to have you on. Long time listener, first time caller receiver.
Yeah, all right, enjoy.
Have a good ride.
What on, fella?
Watch out for traffic. Bye.
Watch out for Range Rovers.
Bye, fella.
Bye.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with Plush Care. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Yeah, he's been on at us for ages about coming on, and
just ticked the box today, didn't we?
Had to, because I mean, you bump into him a lot. I'm sort of social media friends with him, and I just didn't want it to be awkward where, you know, we've done three series of this now, and he's bugged us for
lads
3 years,
lads.
But we got him on, so.
Box ticked.
He's happy, isn't he?
Yeah. Should we do our thing? This is a long podcast now, Tommy. We've been told about ideal lengths and we're going way over.
We'll have to talk about a little bit of rugby.
Yeah, should we just crack through it a bit?
Let's smash it. Now, just in terms of Welsh rugby, we'll blitz through this, okay? Ospreys beat Cardiff, which means they are in the playoff for the seventh place in Europe.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Big game because Gareth Anscombe was at 10. He's going to the Ospreys next year. Missed a fairly easy kick towards the end with 10 minutes to go. Didn't really matter. 10 minutes is still quite a long time to get back into the game. There were two tries the Blues were disallowed, but I think rightly so. George North possibly could have tackled Tomos Williams. It was around the halfway line, 40-metre line, so it was a long way out to award a penalty try when Dan Evans slapping the ball down.
Yep.
So I can see why Nigel Owens gave that. And then he also gave one for obstruction with Nick Williams. He causes obstruction. I can't remember who it was on, but
it's basically
changes his angle right at the last minute. Yeah. If he kept a true angle, it would have been all right. But because he changes it, the player went down far too easy. The Blues end up scoring. But when you rewind it back, if he keeps a true line, then that's going to be a try. But there's a penalty given right at the end, which allowed Sam Davies to kick the ball over to win by 3 points. Now, I thought the ball was playable. I think Rhys Carey makes a tackle, gets out of the way. The ball is there to be playable. Nigel gives it. as a penalty, and the Ospreys win. So they're in a playoff now against the Scarlets, who lost to the Dragons. Dragons play really well. Finally, the last game of the season, they come up trumps. But it doesn't matter because Edinburgh lost and Benetton are through anyway. So the Ospreys will play the Scarlets to get the seventh place position in the Champions Cup, which is the top tier competition, as you know. But there might be an eighth team to go through if Leinster win. And semi-final teams, I think, in one of the leagues are all qualified somehow. It's quite complicated. But that's it in a nutshell, my friend.
All right. Yeah, good. Mm. I had a great gag in the middle there that I couldn't get in because you were talking rugby and it was really good.
I just had to get it out, mate.
I know, fella. And I'm glad you did. And I'm glad thanks for the update. But but it's quite hard for Nick Williams not to cause obstruction.
Yeah.
Because he's 4 feet across.
He's massive.
All right. That's where I was going with it, fella. Yeah.
Really hope they re-sign him.
Wonder about this. Yeah, I do, actually. Wonder about this. On Friday night in the Gallagher Prem, Newcastle against Saints.
Mm-hmm.
Saints looking for top four. Believe it or not, what a crazy league.
What a great game.
Quins have won 1-7 and they're still in for top four. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. And Sale are playing Bath. I, as you know, Tommy, played for Bath for a long time. I probably played for Bath 10 times at Sale on a Friday night or more.
Yeah, yeah.
There was never a good one. Never a good one waseth thereth. Okay? So you wonder, why are BT Sport not in Newcastle, who might well be getting sent down by Northampton? Then you realise, I don't know the answer to this, they must be contractually obliged to go to a certain number of home games for every club. And I've got a theory. This is genuinely a guess. So Sale supporters might get a bit upset by this, but it's just a guess. There are big games. Every game's a big game and all that. But is there how many massive games are there at Sale Sharks on a Friday night? There aren't that many massive games because they're never properly relegated. They're very rarely looking at, you know, winning the thing. They're very rarely properly look like they're going to get relegated come the business end of the season. I hate when they call that, but that's why I called it that. But also, it doesn't look very good. It's a really nice stadium, but there's hardly anyone there.
Mm.
So it just looks rubbish on a Friday night, whereas Bath aren't really in it either. No. They haven't been very good this season, but it looks magnificent. So I think I do wonder if that plays a part in the fact that Sale generally just kind of, as a team, in terms of points, in terms of league position, they're just a bit meh. They're kind of middling generally.
But also, Dave, I think everything sort of fell and into that game to be a poor game. Like, you play that this week, it's not going to be 6-3 again, is it? I mean, that's such a poor score.
It's so bad.
You won't get that again. And who knew that Tom Collins was going to be on fire for Northampton?
Yeah.
And that Newcastle, big game for Newcastle because they're desperately trying to win that, obviously, to stay up. And now I think they are going down. Is that confirmed?
It's not certain, but it's very unlikely they'll stay up.
So it was a big game for Newcastle. So, yeah, I agree. But let's talk about Tom Collins quickly.
Well, wonderful. Love watching him in full flight, but it was just way too easy for him. Way too easy.
Yeah, but you'd think that it wouldn't be that easy when you're up against Gonover and Sinotti.
No, but he didn't do much against.
I know.
So he goes between Toby Flood and another defender outside Toby Flood, and you're like, that's not a big gap. How's no one touched him? And then when Reece Marshall gets
just pace,
hooker,
just pace, mate. Flood can't get across.
Okay, yeah. Then Marshall gets through, gets the offload away. Mm. Tom Collins goes in for his second, and Rodney RU, he scored a good try, powerful try. He's been great fun to watch since he got a couple of games at Newcastle. But he's just miles off it in defence, and you just think, if there's one thing when you're fighting for your life, fighting for your premiership status, one thing you think would be properly up to scratch, it would be
basics.
Defensive concentration. Collisions are the easy bit. Being in the right positions repeatedly, constantly for an hour and a half, that's the hard bit.
Mm.
And you'd think that'd be up to scratch, and it just wasn't. It just wasn't there.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. But
Collins looked great, didn't he?
Yeah, he did look good. Hutchinson looks really good at 13 as well, and I think he's got to make a decision as to... I know Gregor Townsend's been in contact with him.
Oh, yeah.
Telling him that, you know, a couple of good games towards the end of the season, you could be in the pre-Rugby World Cup squad, or whether he goes the option of England. I think he qualifies for both. Don't hold me to that, but I think...
Thing is, though... You play 13 in England. I mean, look at the people who can't get in the team current. Elliot Daly and Jonathan Joseph can't get in the team. Nick Tompkins, I think, is a really good player. Nowhere near the England team.
No, yeah, but you know, he's not really that quality yet, I don't think.
Okay, fine, but you've got two or three top guys there who can't get in the team at 13.
Zolski.
Yeah, Lazowski can't get. So you add yourself to that roster.
Yeah.
There is every chance Rory Hutchinson will end up with 14 caps, 8 of which off the bench.
Mm.
That's fine. But he could go to Scotland and you got some really good centres there, but all it takes is one guy to twist his ankle, and there are so few players there that you can be decent and end up with a boatload of Scottish caps without being outstanding. And people don't like hearing that. It's just numbers. It's just maths.
Yeah.
Take every player that's got 50 caps plus for Scotland and ask yourself, whether or not they've beaten them here or there, ask yourself how many of those players would have got 50 England caps or 50, well, French could be anybody. So ask, because just numbers, that's all it is. Same with Wales.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean they're a worse team. It's just nuts.
So, yeah, but Wales are different level to Scotland, mate. Saracens Wasps. We sort of saw that coming, 31-14. I tell you who's a player that's really stepped up this year. He's always come off the bench and played well, is Spencer at 9. Takes an intercept straight away, but pure pace in him as well. He's a proper weapon. He's individually very good. You know, so what I mean by that is, like, he make a lot of breaks. He's not just getting the ball away, speed of game, kicking. You know, he's a weapon, ball in hand. You know, so he'll make breaks for you. He'll score tries.
Are you calling him a tool?
Massive one. Leatherman.
What I think about Ben Spencer is, and see what you think, Tommy Boy, is that Richard Wigglesworth, for a long time in the Premiership, has kind of been that Dmitry Yashvili figure.
Mm.
So winning titles, putting Saracens in the right position.
Game management.
Really good at altering the tempo of a game. Really good kicking game. Really good service. Gives exactly what Saracens needed. I feel like Ben Spencer might be the guy who is probably learning from Wigglesworth, but actually his game management seems to be improving, his kicking game seems to be improving all the time, and he's got that extra athleticism which might see him overtake, you know, like Wigglesworth. I would still personally be thinking Wigglesworth for big games because you just know he's going to deliver.
Individually, around rucks and mauls, you know, you've really got to keep an eye on him, whilst others you don't, because others will be smaller. You know, you're able to get a hand on him. You know, you can take them down because they're quite light, because scrum halves tend to be quite small and nippy. That's why they're scrum halves, and sneaky.
Except Mike Phillips, who's a dominator.
Through gaps, yeah. But Will Skelton busting through. Huh. Man, he can run as well.
I know.
It didn't even look like him. It looks a shadow of the bloke he was probably 12 months ago. Lost loads of weight. Looked really pacey.
Do you know what I heard the other day?
No.
About Will Skelton. You know he's the biggest man you've ever seen?
Mm.
I heard the other day he's 128 kilos.
No way. Hides it really well.
Mate, that's 2 kilos less than me.
Liam Williams scores.
You're missing my point.
No, yeah.
I heard the other day that I'm so fat that I'm heavier than Skelton, and I thought he was the biggest man I've ever seen. I need to get 8 stone off quick.
Yeah, but you do that really well. You crash diet. Yeah. I'm not saying it's good for you, but you do it.
Yeah.
But Liam Williams scores a try. What a sign he's been for Saracens, because, you know, you get big name signs like this, often you worry, will they be able to deliver what they've done at the previous club to their new club? And boy, has he done it.
And some. Gareth
boy,
and
has
some.
He done it.
He's got it all.
Yeah, he has.
And
he
apparently, has. Well, I've met him a few times and he seems a good guy. Apparently, he's also a great human being to have around the place, which when you're full-time pros is extremely important, isn't it?
Bristol beat Leicester. I'm great for Bristol, they're staying up. John Thomas, forwards coach.
Brilliant.
Gave us the pleasure of watching I think it was about 13 man more driving line up.
Yeah.
For a try.
Yeah. Harry Thacker against his old club, the club that didn't want him, the club that never played him if everyone else was fit.
Mm.
Absolutely star player. And they basically, the opinion of Harry Thacker was, from what I was told, is that he likes all the flash stuff, doesn't like the hard work. I used to look at him and look at his physique and think, people with those physiques, either whatever they, what they do not shirk is hard work. You can't nick a physique like his. You can't nick it. Yes, it's genetics, but it's unbelievably hard work. So I think he's got to love hard work, and his set piece isn't good enough. He's too small to scrummage. And I was like, well, I never knew about that because I played with Lee Mears.
Yeah.
He had the legs of a Polish powerlifter, but he had the upper body of a 50-year-old shopkeeper. And he was 5'1" in heels. And he got 42 caps for England, Lion, and an exceptionally strong bloke.
Yeah.
So I just think, well, we'd play against Steve Thompson, who's enormous, and Mearsy could fit in Tomo's pocket, and Mearsy would be brilliant because he'd get, you know, they were tough times.
Players, though, weren't they?
Sorry?
different types of players. Like Mirzi
yeah.
would also be a great link between forwards and backs. You know, so yeah. when it becomes phase play, and we're seeing that way more now, and I think forwards are far better at it in the Northern Hemisphere, you know, of slotting in. You look at the way, say, Gloucester play. They have the same attack most games, really, but it's the forwards' knowledge of being able to backpedal, get in the right position, get the right depth, get the right pace to either carry or be ball players. And Mirzi was great at that. So skillful, wasn't he?
Yeah, and but, it's just a little engine on him. So Harry Thacker, great moment for him and for Jordan Crane. They were well worth it, Bristol. Really, really good.
Big moment for Worcester as well. Officially staying up.
Yeah, I was there. I was there live, Tommy, in the cauldron, Six Ways Cauldron.
Duncan Weir. Now,
the bog brush, Stuart Hogg called him on
Twitter. Yeah, I know. I loved it.
It worked so well, didn't it, with that lid.
But, you know, you can't really speak highly of him enough at Worcester, really, because he's just done a brilliant job for him.
He's been great.
You know, it's not... You probably won't see him in the Scottish squad again, but what he does for Worcester every week is invaluable.
Do you know what they needed? They needed an Andy Goode. And I don't just mean...
But they've got him in Weir.
They've got him. And they needed someone they could just rely on. And that suggests that Duncan Weir doesn't have any kind of dynamism to his game. And that's not true. That's not the point. He's got flair. He's got imagination. The try he scored was actually... It's a brilliant clear out from Ethan Waller, by the way. I mean, how he got there, I'm not quite sure. But Duncan Weir's got really good game management. You can rely on him to exit. And when it comes to it, he's a baller.
But he created that try himself as well by straightening up, running inside, putting the ball inside, and then getting hold and a little pick and go from just under the post.
Yeah, so, he's done brilliantly for
that. Yeah, and you're right, mate. You don't want to sound like you devalue him by saying he is just what a team like Worcester need just to stay up, because that is their priority. They're not going to win the league at the moment, but it's important for them to stay up and to fight another year and to grow as a team.
Yeah, and it's great for them. Really, really good for them, and really well done. By the way, it was Hoogie time yesterday at Six Ways. It was Francois Hohard time, Hoogie time. Because I sometimes, Andy Hazel and I and a couple of others, and Alex Brown and James Forrester, we'll just look at Francois Hogard's Instagram just because it's Hoogie time, and he just does life a bit differently. And he pulled into the car park in AMG GTI, you wouldn't know what it is, but it is it's a Mercedes supercar.
Is it?
He swapped a black Lamborghini for it, so he's downgraded, actually. But he's also got a big black Range Rover to keep the miles off the Lambo and the Merc. So he's living
sensible,
life different,
real
right?
Real sensible bloke.
Yeah, practical. And he pulls in four different parking spaces he tried before he was happy. He gets out, and he's just immaculate, good-looking. There's not a hair on his body. And you're like, if he walked in and you didn't know him, he's like, this bloke is all show. This bloke is just so much show, it's painful. Watch him play yesterday. He was taking names. He was nailing people.
He's aggressive.
He is so physical and aggressive. And he was really good around the breakdown. Sharp, quick, running, great service. Couple of really important breaks around the breakdown. And just smashing people. Like, he hits harder than most of the forwards.
The postman, isn't he?
He was. Yeah, exactly.
Always delivers.
Yeah, the jukebox. He was fantastic. By the way, there's a bloke in this car park who's been sat here for the last half an hour charging up his car. He's pulled into the services, put his car on charge, sat in his car while it's charging. He's now unplugged it after half an hour, and he's driving off again. That is why electric cars don't quite work yet. You've got to add that to your journey all the time.
You don't know, mate. He could be a sales rep, and he's just buying a bit of time. So
at least go and get a coffee, fella.
Looks at the clock. Oh, actually, there's only an hour left in work.
Get yourself
might as well
a sandwich,
go home,
fella. Yeah.
Oh, he looks smart anyway. He's bound to be a rep.
Yeah,
right, mate.
He's got a lanyard. All right, fella.
See you later.
Cheers, boy.
Anyway, I think that will do us, mate. That's a long podcast, yeah. But sorry. Cotto does go on a bit.
Doesn't he?
Yeah. God. A bit too much, really. I probably won't ring him again.
No, no need, is there?
No.
He doesn't like people anyway, so he doesn't want us to ring him. Wow. All right.
Unless you're a dog.
Good luck, everyone.
Bye.
Ta-ra.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.